the buzzer. McCord on its way. Oh my goodness.
They have to get it. With no timeouts, they do.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dokic, the definitive college basketball podcast.
B-Squared, world's greatest podcast, talking a little NBA. The Heat win in six, as Seth Greenberg predicted, by the way. And Heat-Lakers, what do you think?
I think that, first off, coaching in the NBA is horrible. I think that Spoelstra has outcoached everybody, ran circles around him. I think Doc Rivers got what Doc Rivers should have got about 10 years ago.
Wow, you're not a Doc Rivers fan at all. I like that.
I'm not. I he's fine. He's a nice guy, I guess. I don't know. But as a coach, I've watched him, and I'm just down on NBA coaching. I've just seen Spoelstra outmaneuver everybody. I have a hard time believing, Seth Greenberg, that anybody's going to beat the Heat. Or excuse me, I'm sorry, going to beat the Lakers and LeBron James. To me, I've said this before, and you're a little bit older than me, so maybe you saw Oscar, maybe you saw Will. I did not. But I've said always, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Michael Jordan, two best I've ever seen. But I got to tell you, man, LeBron's moving in there for me, Seth. My God, what this guy's doing. I know the NBA is a much easier game now. I do. I always said this about Steph Curry. He's great. But him going to the basket and sashaying like he does and then talking smack, I would have liked to seen him do that in the 80s and 90s where you know, Isaiah almost died from an elbow from Karl Malone. He would have to make some business decisions. So I get all that, but in my opinion, I'm going to take the Lakers. But my God, are the Heat outclassing everybody in terms of scheme, cutting, moving, screeners, getting shots. And Duncan Robinson was my son Andrew's roommate, and they're best friends, and so I root for him, but I can't see the Lakers losing.
Okay, I agree with that. I think the good coaches in the NBA are really good. And, I kind of disagree. I think that the big part of coaching the NBA, obviously, is dealing with egos and the chemistry of your team that's most times put together by someone else besides the coach.
All right, let me answer that, though, real quick. What team has good chemistry besides the Heat?
All right, well, I think the Lakers. The teams have good chemistry where the roles are defined and the person that put together the team pieces.
I get all the coaching clinics.
No. It's easy to call it. Hey, it's easy to say that.
Who has good chemistry?
It's easy to say that. There's no coaching in the NBA. See, I disagree. No, I think coaching is good.
I said they're bad coaching. They don't adjust. You throw a zone at them, and it's like, hey, did you see the best coach in college basketball a few years ago was Brad Stevens. Did you see the Celtics disintegrate? This ain't Kyrie's fault now. I mean,
I think that they don't see it a lot. I think that they had some success against the zone, and then what happens? I thought Spoelstra made a great move. Going man. And then going back to the zone, because you know what? It's like anything else. Later in the game, heavier legs, more pressure, the shots that they made early and the movements that they had early. Look, the Heat zone was so much more active in the fourth quarter than it was in the first quarter. Not even close. Not even close how active. They fought over screens at the top, so they didn't have that two on the ball. They bumped back quicker, or they stayed if it was a shooter. You know, I think that you underappreciate the coaching in the NBA and the preparations and the changes. And
that's all great stuff for the Mohican Sun Coaches Clinic.
It's easy for you to say, well, they need to cut, they need to move the ball.
That's it right there. That's you.
That's Coaches Clinic.
Control your controllables. Okay, great. Now the little coaches write it down. I'm talking about actual in-game coaching. It is horrendous. There is literally none. I watched a guy. I had a conversation with Nate McMillan. I said, Nate, talking about switching on defense. No, we don't switch on defense. Okay, well, you're an idiot. The Bulls switched on defense with Michael frickin' Jordan, so Nate McMillan needs to go. I think it's horrendous, and I didn't think it was. These guys have 97,000 people on their payrolls. They have analytics, all this crap. And I got to tell you, I think it's clogged the brain of smart coaches. I'm telling you, it's awful.
I'm going to give you a new one. We can agree to disagree because I watch a ton of NBA and I see guys that do really, really good jobs. And you know what?
I got
a question. There are a lot of jobs open. Who would you hire?
If I were going to hire a guy in the NBA, I would hire somebody that can think for themselves. I would hire somebody that is a little bit innovative. And I'm going to tell you, I got absolutely no idea who the hell that would be. If I had Seth,
I'd hire Jeff Van Gundy.
That's fine. But I mean, if we're really going to talk honestly,
we're not talking honestly. I'd hire Van Gundy. He took that USA basketball team with all his, the G League guys and college guys and went and won because he adapted. He connected. I think that you talk about innovative. I think he's innovative. I'll tell you another guy who I would hire.
Who?
I wouldn't think twice about it. I'd hire Rick Pitino.
I'd hire Rick Pitino in a second. I'd hire Jeff Van Gundy in a second. I thought, and, you know, I'm going to get myself in trouble, so I'm just not going to say it. But I thought at ESPN, as analysts, we were supposed to watch the game and tell people why things happened.
Yes, great.
Man, I don't hear any of that. Marcus Smart can get hot. Really? Okay. Why? You know what was the smartest thing? And you will know this. Fans won't understand this, but you will understand this. You know the best thing that happened for the Heat in that game six? I think Marcus Smart hitting his first couple threes. Because sometimes a guy then falls in love. And that's all that dude did, was just jack up threes. Because everybody, the Heat were so well schooled on protecting against Jason Tatum. And that's something that, I'm not going to lie to you, I watched a lot of NBA, and I don't see a lot of what Spoelstra did. Spoelstra was really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, the end of the game, Boston Celtics shot selection was horrendous. Instead of moving the ball and getting it reversed and then attacking a closeout on the zone or getting the ball, like in the first quarter, they slipped that little screen on the guard, got the ball in the middle. The one thing they did, all of those guys did a poor job. When they catch it in the middle of the zone, shot, partner, kick it out. I mean, guys, sometimes they never even faced the basket, which made no sense.
Steph, is that not coaching or no?
Yeah, I think that you can, you know, look, Dan, you and I have had teams that we've asked them to do things that they didn't do.
True that.
All right. So, I mean, like, do you think that Brad Stevens in film session went over, all right, we're going to screen the center, I'm going to screen the guard, we're going to slip them. When you catch here, think shot, think partner, think opposite. Or on ball reversal, we're going to attack this guard forward gap, then we're going to come behind the play. I'm sure all those things were discussed. Now, you know what? Guys have got to go out and execute it.
And okay. I think
that the DNA of a team, I really believe this, like the Heat's culture, quote unquote culture, I think it's more identity than culture, that the Heat's identity is such that there's a greater, it was put together with a greater purpose. That team was put together with a purpose. Guys with chip on shoulders, guys that had upsides, guys, you know, they did a great job of evaluating guys that fit the Heat culture or the Heat identity. I do right now, though, we're going to talk to a guy to understand.
I got to answer that, though. I would argue what you just said made my point, and that is, then don't put the guy in the middle if you can't play in the middle.
Yeah, I like guards in the middle.
That's coaching.
I'm actually big on putting a playmaker in the middle.
Me too. I'm just saying, but these guys have all these analytics, 60 games worth of watching, and you put the wrong guy that can't make a play in the middle of a zone, that's coaching. That's ultimately, you want to know what got Tom Crean out of Indiana? Putting Cody Zeller in the middle of a zone.
Against Syracuse.
I mean, he put a guy in the middle of the zone that literally didn't like to play in traffic, Cody Zeller. He could play on a block against a guy, or he could pass off a double team, but he couldn't play in traffic.
He was better on the baseline.
Yeah, anywhere. I mean, he'd be better on the wing shooting jumpers. But anyway, that's to me. Anyway, I'm on this thing because it hit me like a ton of bricks, man. And I know everybody, all the coaching community is nice to each other. I get it. But, man, that NBA and Doc Rivers, wow. Hey, look, a fawning media can't overcome what basketball people see.
I see. Here's my thing. I just think that team, I wouldn't want Paul George on my team. I'd love Paul George on my team. Never. I think the makeup of that team it was not good. I mean, that's just the way it is. When you have guys taking off for family emergencies and going to strip joints and then saying, well, it's just because he went to get the wings. I'm sorry. That's not, you know, and again, let's put it this way. That wouldn't happen in Miami. That wouldn't happen in San Antonio. That wouldn't happen in places that have strong cultures and identities. And that starts at the top with the general manager and the president of the organization. But you know what we have? We have a great dude coming in. We got my man Coach Hamilton coming on, and hopefully Taylor's going to dial him up. The job he's done at Florida State is unbelievable. I call them the Rodney Dangerfield of the ACC because every single sneaking year they're picked fifth and sixth, whatever. And every year, you know what happens? All they do is kick everyone's ass. And every year, those guys, some guys stay, some guys go. All those guys get better. They play hard as hell. So we want to pick his brain a little bit. Is Coach Ham on? I'd like to welcome in the most handsome, well-preserved, underappreciated head coach in America. All he does, the Rodney Dangerfield of college basketball, all they do every year, get picked like fifth or sixth in the ACC, and all they do is whoop everyone's tail. Coach Ham, what is going on?
Good morning, my brother. How you doing?
We're hanging in here. I'm here with my man Dan Dockich. So, Coach, with everything that's gone on in the world in the last 5 months, you guys being crowned ACC champions at the ACC tournament, season being ended, everything that's going on in society, how have you been able to deal with that and use all these experiences to educate your team?
Well, after when things happened in March, I recognize the fact that our team and our staff and our program, our philosophy, our culture need to have a purpose in moving forward. And immediately after we got back, I made it clear to our players that during these types of situations that are unprecedented and that things were going on that people had never dealt with before, one of three things were going to happen. Somebody's going to stay the same. Somebody's going to not handle it correctly and get worse. And somebody was going to get better.
Right.
We wanted to be in a good, better lane. What it was going to take is that we're going to have tremendous sacrifices. We got to develop a newfound level of discipline and focus to make sure that we did not give in to the uncertainty of all the challenges that we were going to be facing that we had never faced before. So we're going to have to be together, tighter, more mature, and that someone was going to do something stupid to hurt themselves, and we could not do that. And so we've tried to take an approach to see whether or not we could turn it up or not. Our effort, our level of communication, our focus, our staying in touch more, we tried to increase it so that we could deal with some of these unknown issues that we knew that were going to raise this ugly head. I call them basketball demons that raise their ugly head every year in some form or another. During the season, the selfishness and outside noise in your ear that becomes a distraction. And so what we've tried to do is just stay unbelievably focused. And right now, I think we're in a pretty good place. We've two years in a row, we felt that we've had a chance to move into that elite level of getting to the Final Four. Year before last, we had injuries and death in the family last year. We got it cut short. And so I wanted to use all the pain from what we experienced the other years as a motivator to see whether or not we can stay in that get better lane.
Hey, Coach, with Dan Dockich, thanks for joining us. With all the with all the COVID stuff and social media, let me go one by one. With the social justice, what has your message been to the team? What have you told them about maybe your experiences, stuff like that?
Well, Dan, we talk about social injustice all the time. Those guys know my journey. They knew I came through segregation. They knew I drank at the colored water fountain. I used the colored bathroom. They understand that I had to ride in the back of the bus and sit up in the balcony and move it. And that there were restaurants that I could not go into because I was African American. When I traveled with my community college basketball team, there were hotels we couldn't stay in because I was on the team. But I've had fans in empty because I was the first African American to play in games. So I've been through all of that. You know, they know my journey, and I have never made any excuses other than the only way you work your way out of that, you stay focused and know, and you exercise emotional intelligence without trying to be angry, not trying to be over the top. You just have to figure out a way how to get the job done and not make any excuses. And so they understand the social injustice. And as we moved into this unbelievable realm that we're dealing with now, I have stopped talking about the riot. I get sick and tired of talking about the riot and people asking me to respond to the reaction the people are having toward social injustice and racial injustices. So I want to talk about the reason why we protested in the first place. But what happened is the only thing that we're talking about now is the reaction of people are making to the protest. And I want to encourage people, we're in a bad place right now. And if we don't figure out that we all got to figure out how to get along, we don't all figure out that we need to have open and honest discussion as to where we are so we can figure out how to fix this. But right now, everyone is wanting to take a stand on issues that right now are opinions that we all have about what's going on, as opposed to us just having an honest and open dialogue and discussion where we can feel where everybody's coming from, so we can figure out a way how we can resolve all our issues. Right now, all the thing we're doing is talking.
Man, that's a great point, Coach. I mean, that's a great point. So how do you take your group and get them? I call them solution-based conversations, as opposed to people talking to just talk. How do you get your group, whether it's the athletic department, your team, the Tallahassee community, using your influence? How do you use your influence for change now?
Well, what we try to do, number one, we try to control that which we can control. Find out first we have to control how we respond and how prepared we are for these unfortunate circumstances that come up. Obviously, we talk to our African American kids about how they respond if they're pulled over, that they'll stop, and we try to let them know the mental frame of mind that somebody might be in when they're asking them questions. And we have been doing that all along. But that's what we do, in terms of our program in the first place. But there are so many uncertain things going on, and we just try to prepare them. Like this week, we're having another Zoom call with, I think, probably tomorrow evening. We're bringing up a whole lot of set of issues about all the different issues that college athletes, professional athletes, entertainers, public figures are dealing with, from some of the issues that we have with drug-related, domestic violence, interpersonal relationships. We just try to cover a lot of things on a consistent basis so that we don't get surprised and we don't exercise what we call emotional intelligence. And many times we as Americans, we get emotional and we respond in a way that sometimes what we're dealing with might not understand. Road rage, not addressing a policeman in the proper way or whatever, or not interacting properly with a female or a teacher, or just in general with a teammate. We try to address all those things, and God knows we kind of feel like we're replacing the parents. We're their mother, father, sister, brother, counselor, disciplinarian, the coach, their friend, the shoulder to cry on. We all of those things all in one, and the responsibility of a coach encompasses all those different areas when you're dealing with young people, that you're taking them from teenagers to young adulthood. And if you don't take that job seriously and understand that you can't let nothing fall through the cracks, then something bad will happen.
Coach, how do you feel during this time? How do you feel your team has adapted to you know, all the things that they have to do as 18 to 22 year olds, whether it is the social issues, whether it is Corona, whether it's an uncertain practice schedule, an uncertain game schedule. Walk me through what you think players are all dealing with, because I have concerns about the mental health of people, mental health of kids during this entire time.
Well, as a staff, you know, I require my staff, and believe me, Steph, you probably know my staff than anybody. I got the greatest assembly of professional basketball assistant coaches in the country. We on steroids. Stan Jones and Steve Smith and Charlton and Mike Bradley and we got a great collection of guys. We've been together a long time. Stan was with me almost 25 years. Mike been with me over 21 years. T.Y. recruited out of high school. Steve Smith. So my guys are constantly communicating with our guys, taking the temperature of them, seeing where they are mentally, emotionally. In my experience, I watched their body language, their facial expression, their tone of voice. I'm on it because I realize that these are very uncertain times, and then that we're dealing with, and we're in communication with them on a consistent basis. So I think that helps a little bit. But in these uncertain times, it would have been, I put myself in that situation. Steph, if you was my coach and I'm 19, 20, 21 years old, and I know I'm doing online courses, I'm going to practice, I'm taking my meals in a safe place, and I got no social recreational outlet other than apartment. So if you'd have problems with me, I mean, I'd have been sneaking around, I'd have been struggling. I would have been struggling without wanting to have some interaction with my friends. It would have been a struggle for me. So when I put myself in that situation, you know, we talk about it. And it takes, it's going to take some sacrifice and some unbelievable discipline. And I've had a couple of knuckleheads test me. Let's just say that I've met those circumstances correctly, and then I got everybody's attention. So I think that we're going to have less of it, but it's challenging. And you got to respect that these are young people. And they're doing some unbelievable times. You got to find a way to deal with it. And there's no cookbook. There's no direction that we're in. You've got to go with a feel. But I feel this way. If you care about your players and you treat them like they're your own, you'll figure it out. And that's what we're doing.
Coach, that's such a key point. And damn, what you brought up. Because my daughter just moved to Charlotte, North Carolina to start her professional career. And like, she's working from her apartment. And she knows no one basically in the whole city. And as successful as she's been, and she's an attorney, she's got a good job, she's got a great apartment. Let me tell you something. It's hard. It's hard. I mean, she's concerned about, you know, going out and getting groceries and forget about just going out and doing anything socially. So, and I can't even imagine that with an 18-year-old, now she's 20, you know, 24, on a college campus. That this may have to show, but the mental health aspect. So when you guys get them in the gym, how often, like now you guys are going to have 12 hours where you can be with them and eight of those in basketball. What are you doing with your team during those times? And what precautions are you taking during that time? How much is it individual? How much is it team? How much is it just making sure that you're occupying them so that they're mentally fresh?
Well, Seth, we have a system that we feel good about. We start practice. It's like elementary school recess. You know, we encourage laughter. We encourage communication. We talk it important than talking. We encourage them to be demonstrative. We encourage them, you know, to encourage one another. You know, we work at learning how to talk, you know, and communicate with one another, you know, and we take those emotional tidbits, we take that seriously, and our guys are bought in. So I feel like we're in a safe place when we come into practice. And as much as I hold them accountable, you know, I'm probably one of the biggest jokesters in the country. We laugh and we joke, but we also are serious. And our guys know where the line is drawn. But one thing that's going on here, Steph, is that what we can't lose sight of, right now we're dealing with the social issues that we got to handle correctly. We're dealing with the how you respond to with the pandemic. But then we also need to understand we need to win. We need to make sure that we're prepared technically, cardiovascularly, the competition that we know that we're going to be facing in this season coming up. And regardless of what all we're dealing with all the outside noise and challenges, and they're not outside, they're in the house, we still need to be prepared to go win. And hopefully we'll address all of it equally, because we think it's all very, very important.
Hey, Coach, do you have a schedule?
Not quite, but we're working on it. We're getting close, because of obviously starting late as opposed to being the first week up there in December. We moved it to the 25th, and you got those MTEs, and you got the games being counted, less games. We got dates. We got preliminaries, but to tell you that we locked in and we got everything absolute, I'd be lying to you. But we're getting close. Hopefully by the end of the week, we'll have it all resolved, and we'll be able to at least know who we're going to play and when and where and what the particulars.
Ham, do you expect to leave Tallahassee non-conference except for the ACC Big Ten Challenge, or do you think it's best for you guys to just bring people to you to keep your guys in the most sterile environment?
Well, this particular year, we have some games that are scheduled to be returned to us, so we probably will be traveling less this year than we normally would have. There are some games that we had that I believe that I can't really announce now. That's probably going to be canceled. Everybody's kind of working those things out. We elected not to go and play in any of the tournaments. And we do have the Big Ten Challenge at home. This is the year that the University of Florida is scheduled to return a game to us. We have a couple of the games that people are returning to us. And we're only playing 25. I'll say we'll be probably traveling less this year than we have in the preseason.
So you guys are not going to play in NTE, so you can only play 25 games. So you're going to play 20 in league, ACC, Big Ten, Florida. It leaves you only 3 to schedule, right?
Right. So I'm okay with that. I don't think it's that much different between 25 and 27. But right now there's a lot of uncertainty, and we're not in a position where we can announce exactly, because we don't have some confirmations on some of the things that we're working on.
Coach, this just now, a couple of NFL teams have closed their facilities because of COVID. And the general manager, the Colts, and I have a good relationship. And he told me, this is all on the players because they're not in a bubble. How are your players, and what do you guys do, if anything you can do, to make sure that players understand that this is on them if they want to have a season?
Dan, we talk about it every day, 15 times a day. Now, you can't discuss it enough. Before practice and after practice, every day, we are hammering it in their heads about how we should be conducting ourselves, the sacrifices that we all are having to make. Our coaches got mask on, we got shields on, we got gloves on. I mean, we're sanitizing any and everything. We're gonna be testing 3 times a week, maybe even more. I mean, we're doing whatever we know how to do to try to get through this year, and hopefully we'll get a vaccine at some point that we all can rely on. And hopefully we'll be a lot safer. How are we going to, if a fan's going to be in the stands, are you going to have limited fans? I'm sure all those things are being worked out. It's just right now, these are challenging times that we all are going through. And once again, I just want to make sure I control that which that I can control. And hopefully, as times move on, we all on a national basis will be safer and safer.
Ham, you with a mask and a shield, you look about 40 years old in one of those. I mean, that would almost that would be almost unfair.
Well, I'm gonna send you a picture of what I look like, so you'll understand we're serious down here.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time. I know you got another Zoom meeting, but you know, your insight and your story and what you do, what you've done with your program, and you know, let's just real quick, let your team this year. I mean, you lose some dudes to the league. You lost one after 1 year, which is uncommon. How good is your team this year? What's the makeup of your team?
Myself, you know, it's been interesting the last 4 or 5 years. Every year, I think the last four to five years, we haven't been preseason ranked at all, which I find very interesting. But I do understand the journey of coming from to overcoming what they call that blue blood and the elite status. Mm-hmm. You know, we in the ACC, about the number one basketball conference, in my opinion, and Dan might disagree, ever assembled in the history of college basketball. Now, why am I saying that? Because when you take North Carolina as the third winningest program in the history of college basketball, the Duke is the fourth, Syracuse is fifth, Notre Dame is ninth, Louisville is 14th, North Carolina State's 25th, and everybody else in the league has either been to the Final Four, the Elite Eight, the Sweet 16 on a consistent basis. So I equate that into what you call that blue blood status, that elite status. Well, Florida State, you know, they were independent. Then they were a member of the Dixie League. Then they went to the Metro, and we just recently joined the ACC. So we kind of new to the party. So I understand that when people start voting, we have a tendency to go back to what we have been accustomed to, and we in the new blood status. That's why our guys have coined the phrase. Matter of fact, T.Y. might even got it official that we're new blood. We're not blue bloods yet. So we haven't earned the respect. We haven't captivated the imagination of the people who do the voting in the preseason. So we always are climbing out of the ditch, which, to be honest with you, we use it as a motivator. And I expect to be somewhere picked in the ACC around fourth, fifth. We lose three kids, I think, going to get drafted in the NBA. So quite naturally, we're supposed to be in the regrouping stage. I don't believe that. I think we're going to come back and be a team that continues to show that we belong in that next step. And we have a great system with guys who get better. We play a lot of players. Our players are bought into sharing playing time, sharing the ball, sharing minutes. We had 11 guys, I think, averaged about 10 minutes a game last year. We would be the only program in the country that I know of that would have two kids drafted in the first round back-to-back, and neither one of them ever start a minute. And that would be Fiondu Caligalli and Patrick Williams. Neither one of them ever started, but they both go first-round draft picks. As a matter of fact, I think Patrick's going to be a lottery pick, and probably so with Devin Vassell, and I think Trent Forrest will be a second-rounder. And Trent is one of the most unbelievable, underrated players in the world. Jeff, you don't know this, we won 10 straight overtime games with Trent Forrest being our point guard. Wow. We've lost three games at home since 2016 with Trent Forrest being our guard. He's the all-time winningest player. He's won more games than anybody in the history of Florida State basketball. Nobody knows that. But my point to you was him being our point guard. So we're going to miss him. So that's the biggest challenge that I think we have to overcome with this program when you lose a guy of that significance. But because other guys have played significant minutes, they've gained the confidence, and I think we have an outstanding recruiting class of the kids we got bringing in. I think we're going to be right back in the mix of this thing. And so don't be surprised that the Seminoles might be right back in our rightful place, that we feel our rightful place, but we think that no one else in the nation right now has caught on to the confidence we have about where we are and the direction the program is going on. And we're excited and we're looking forward to the upcoming season. I think, once again, we're going to surprise some of you guys.
How good is Scotty Barnes? You've had great freshmen. How good is he?
Well, I think that he is special. I think he has an unbelievable high basketball IQ. But I never try to build expectations up for freshmen that's almost impossible for them to live up to. I just think that he has great athleticism. He has a tremendous, his strength, though, in my opinion, but all what you've seen is running and jumping, his physical attributes, is that his basketball IQ, I think, is going to give him a chance to make a major contribution as a freshman.
Coach, if people don't know that you're going to be around it, they just haven't paid attention, man. I appreciate your time, Coach. You're the greatest, man. Your insight's second to none, and good luck. Stay healthy and keep your players healthy because we want to watch your team, Coach. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Thank you guys for helping me out.
Tell my man, Jimmy Pickett and Stan, I say what's up.
But listen, man, no, you guys show me a little more love, man. I'm available 24/7. If I'm asleep, y'all can wake me up. All right?
Got it. Boy. We're going to have you on speed dial.
All right, buddy.
The great Leonard Hamilton. He's such a good guy. Coach Ham is just, you know, he's a good follow on Twitter, by the way. He's got some funny stuff on Twitter.
Does he really?
Oh, it's funny.
I'm on it.
I mean, hey, some funny pictures.
Can I ask you your reaction to a couple things? A coach saying, hey, look, 25 games, good by me. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think what he's saying is, why am I going to take my team off my campus where they're in a more of a controlled environment and bring them into an environment where they're going to be eight other teams and maybe people that don't have the exact same protocols that we have? I know that thing is pinging. I don't know how to turn it off my laptop. I can turn it off my iPad. I don't know how to turn it off my laptop. I need Jackie Greenberg's gone. My technical advisor is not here to straighten things out. I apologize.
Hey, Seth. Good.
Look, I mean, everyone's got to do what's in their best interest. Look, they're going to play Florida at home. They're going to play. They're going to play an ACC Big Ten Challenge at home. They're going to play three. I don't know if they're bye games because they're probably only be about $20,000. They could play enough schools within the state that could drive over with a similar protocol. You're playing 20 games in the ACC. I mean, if that's what you want to do, I have no problem with those. Are two, you know, they're going to play a good game in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. They're going to play against a very good Florida team. How much more do they got to schedule? Risk reward, I guess. What would you say?
No, I think you have to do what you have to do. My thing is, I look at this, and again, we've seen what's happened in Major League Baseball with the Marlins and I think it was the Reds or the Cardinals. And then we just saw it right now. It just came out about the Vikings. I think maybe you should leave. I almost think this, Seth. My thought would be I schedule as many games as I can because I'm not sure we're going to play many games. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure. Like, schedule 27 or 30, hoping to play 22, 25.
That's what some guys are doing.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. So I don't know, but I do like what Coach said. I don't think you can say enough to your players or remind them enough, hey, man, COVID, don't be going to the parties you're normally going to. Don't go to that frat house. Don't go to that bonfire. Don't go to whatever. Just, you know, sacrifice a little bit. And you know what? We'll see. Maybe, and I've said this forever, Seth, I think baseball got through their season because guys got caught early. And they were made, you know, they were made an example of in the media.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing with football. I'm hoping basketball doesn't have to deal with it, but it probably will. Let's be honest. If you get it early and somebody's an example, then, you know, others don't want to be that guy. Hopefully. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. What else?
Dude, you got more ringings going on than anybody. I mean, we got, ladies and gentlemen,
how to turn it off. I mean,
has like, when I recruited Michael Jordan's son, you had to call the house and it was a switchboard. Like, press 6 to get Jeffrey, press 5 to get Market. Seth Greenberg is on the level of MJ, ladies and gentlemen, with the technology in the house. Hey, what button do I have to push for the butler? How about the pool guy? What about the guy that takes care of bears in the backyard? The hell we got going on at that house?
We saw a whole deer family this morning on my walk, but first of all, we had a little leak in the roof, so we got people running in and out, making sure that we're getting things patched up and serve pros rolling in here. But I don't know how to turn the thing off. I, as soon as I'm done, I'm calling Jackie Greenberg, and I'm going to find out. And you see, I have a big fancy background today, though, but I got a shiny head in my background.
As my children say, it's hell to get old.
I'm telling you, technology is my past, man. I understand that.
All right. Hey, I got to go. I got to get downtown.
Hey, go make some magic, will you, please? And by the way, Jimmy Cook, the Kansas City was a lock. How come you had him as a lock and all the guys on Countdown picked the Ravens?
Seth, when you see greatness, you know this. You see greatness, you know it. And I've never seen nothing like Patrick Mahomes. We can talk about that.
It's unbelievable.
I've never seen anything like Patrick Mahomes. I've been watching football every Sunday since I was 6 years old. I've never seen anything like Patrick Mahomes. And you give me points with Patrick Mahomes? Are you kidding me? It's like Urban Meyer. You don't get points very often with Patrick Mahomes or Urban Meyer. And when you do, you take it and you run and you go to the bank.
So you got a new extension on the house coming?
We got a little something going on in the backyard, yeah.
You're best. Bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.